This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. The Yellowstone population of grizzly bears was designated as an endangered species in 1975, but this June, the Department of Interior announced the bears would be removed from the endangered species list, and since then, several groups have filed lawsuits against that decision. Last fall, before it was announced the bears would be taken off the endangered list, Cincinnati Zoo Director Thane Maynard spoke with wildlife photographer Tom Mangelson and writer Todd Wilkinson. Mangelson spent 10 years tracking and photographing a family of grizzly bears in Yellowstone National Park. He and Wilkinson teamed up to create the book, Grizzly, The Bears of Greater Yellowstone.
Tom Mangelson and Todd Wilkinson, thanks for being on the show.
Pleasure to be here.
Great to be here.
You know, you all have done many good things. Tom, your photographs are famous. I've seen them in shops and all around the world. And Todd, I've read your work in National Geographic and other places. But I know your current book and the work on grizzly bears in Greater Yellowstone is really something. How did it end up that you focused on that specific bear and her life?
I'll jump in here. Tom Mangelson, and Tom can elaborate on this. He lives in Grand Teton National Park in Jackson Hole, and I lived in Jackson for a while, and I've been writing about grizzly bears for 30 years, and really wanted to have a better window into presenting bear conservation. And so here's this incredible bear accessible along the roadside. Mm-hmm. She's a mother who has had several litters of cubs. People have this natural fascination with grizzly bears. And because she's been so long-lived, she provided this great arc for a narrative that Tom and I were able to tap into. And Tom's photographs, you know, a picture really is worth a thousand words. And so I think we've been able to reach just this great point of intersection in trying to tell the life history of this amazing bear who's the most famous bear in the world.
Well, and certainly the photos in the book do tell that story. And, you know, Americans are fascinated with the West, of course. Some of that's a great myth of the Wild West, but certainly the wildness. And a lot of it is tied to predators like grizzly bears. What's the response been to when you're out giving talks like at Cincinnati or you're, you know, just with the sale of the book?
We've had packed crowds wherever we've gone. And as you say, there is this universal fascination with bears. And through Tom's photographs, he's really able to bring an intimate portrait of this bear. And it's happening now at a very pivotal moment in history. Grizzly bear conservation is one of the most watched wildlife issues in our country. And there's a proposal now to remove bears from federal protection in Greater Yellowstone. So it's quite controversial. And, you know, this is set against the backdrop of large carnivore declines worldwide that you are an expert on and know so well. So here we have an example. This is America's version of tigers and lions and rhinoceros. And it really presents us with the question of what are we going to do moving forward to try and protect them in the face of habitat loss and climate change.
Yeah, and I know that when you go out to the Northern Rockies and you're with folks that are from that area, perhaps you're in a bar or you're with ranchers, you know, when the topic of predators come up, you know, as the old saying goes, you can get a fist fight started depending how you bring it up. I've always found that there's more contention, it feels like, about wolves than there is about bears. What do you think that's about?
It's really odd because there's a lot of wolf groupies and a lot of bear groupies, and I started a nonprofit called the Cougar Fund about 12 years ago with a friend of mine, and the cougars, wolves, and bears are all in the West sort of probably hated much more than any other predators, but wolves seem to be the, you know, the most hated, and then it's probably cougars and then probably bears, and there's certainly a lot of people who love bears, and we've been lucky to be able to bring this particular female, 399 as she's called, to the kind of forefront of the discussion on those who would like to delist bears and eventually have a sport hunt for fun.
You know, I'm always amazed when I go to parks where there are so many people, Yellowstone and Grand Teton, and of course Jackson's right there, that there's still room enough in the Northern Rockies for grizzly bears and for cougars and wolves. There's a resiliency to nature that sometimes is surprising, you know, in a country as crowded and prosperous as ours, that still in the lower 48 we have that whole suite of predators.
Well, we've certainly been lucky to live where we do. Todd lives in Bozeman. I live in Jackson. And there's a very small island, Greater Yellowstone, compared to what used to be, you know, the Wild West, and, you know, there are bears throughout the prairies. And where I grew up in Nebraska, there are a lot of bears, and now it's just a little island population, which we're trying to preserve, and we're fortunate to live there.
Well, yes, indeed. And that question of whether they should be delisted, and certainly if there should be a hunt, I know it's contentious out there, but personally, I think it's remarkable that there still are those populations. And my understanding is, at least in Greater Yellowstone, the number of grizzlies has been on the rise. I don't think far enough to be delisted, but in your experience from living out that way, are there more grizzlies today than there were 10 or 15 years ago?
Most definitely. So in 1975, when grizzlies were listed under the Endangered Species Act, there were thoughts that there were fewer than 140 animals and the population was going southward fast. So today, due to federal protection, and it shows that the Endangered Species Act works, the best guesstimates are that there are around 700 bears. Some people claim more, some people claim less. The real issue on the table, though, is why are bears seeming to expand their range? Is it because the ecosystem is bursting at the seams with grizzlies? Or is it because, with climate change affecting four key foods, are they roaming much farther? And so there's a huge scientific debate that relates to this issue. And it's one, again, that has just riveted people. And in the case of Bear 399, she has a fan club that extends around the globe.
As scientists have been able to more accurately track, and even real-time track, the movement of animals, I know one species that amazes people is, like you said, with 399, she might be right there near Jackson, and there are plenty of cases where a bear, when everyone's asleep, walks right through a ranch and nobody would know other than the fact somebody had been tracking it.
Exactly. You know, that is the point, that bears are not only discreet, but they're highly tolerant of people. A friend of ours, as we were putting together our book, which is titled Grizzlies of Pilgrim Creek, this Yale researcher said, Grizzly 399, who guides these groups of cubs across the landscape right through people, she doesn't flinch when she's going through people. So here you have an animal that's supposed to be notoriously temperamental, and yet she keeps her cool as she wanders through crowds of hundreds of onlookers. And as researchers have said, she's better behaved than the people who are watching her are. And, you know, she's the kind of animal that people want to have out in the landscape because she's able to navigate through this wildlife-urban interface.
Yeah, one of the problems is 399 is almost 21 years old now, and she's had three sets of triplets plus two single cubs, and they've all had to navigate the, you know, huge numbers of people, sometimes a couple hundred people on the road. Like, she's been sort of very tolerant of people, not habituated. I see her come up to the highway sometimes, and last week she showed up again. She hadn't really seen since June, but she showed up at her normal haunts, and she walked right between these cars, and she just sort of looks up, and sometimes she looks to see if there's any traffic coming or going, and she'll then call her cubs across the highway. So incredibly intelligent, incredibly gift to people who get to see her, and we need to keep that kind of genetic bear and alive and well, and continue those really tolerant bears.
Absolutely. Have scientists or others been able to track what happened to her offspring?
So 399, over the course of her life, has given birth to cubs, and then those cubs in turn have given birth to cubs. So she has 16 descendants, half of which have died in various kinds of run-ins with people. The most recent one that made international news is she came out of her den this spring with a single male cub nicknamed Snowy that was killed in a hit-and-run accident right on the dawn of the first day of summer this year. So there was a lot of human mourning that was going on. And every year that 399 persists, it's really a miracle because she navigates this gauntlet of elk hunters in the fall. And soon we'll be going to her den. And, you know, Tom has been out there this fall watching 399. And Tom, jump in here and share with Thane, you know, what you've seen and what the hope is for next year.
Well, yeah, she came out. And like I said, she hadn't been seen really hardly at all since June. At least people I know who are really avid 399 bear watchers. And she ended up along Pilgrim Creek, where, you know, again, the title of the book is from, which kind of is interesting because I actually came up with that title 5 or 6 years ago, and she happens to just spend a lot of time on Hookham Creek Road and the river there. But anyway, she lost that cup, and hopefully she'll have another set of, she's 21, she's getting up there, but she could easily have another set of triplets or two, or maybe just a single cup. We're hoping for three again, which would be remarkable. But she is around 500 pounds, we estimate. She's just been really heavy and fat and healthy now, especially without having a cub that, you know, has to nurse and deplete some of her fat reserves. So she should go into the den in next month and be very healthy, and potential of her having cubs next spring is we're all hoping for. I think she'll do it.
Well, of course, humans are a narrative species, so I think the value of you all telling her story, making these issues of predators in a modern crowded world a real thing is immensely valuable, and I appreciate you spending some time here, and I'm particularly glad you're willing to come to Cincinnati and speak at the zoo.
Well, thank you.
We look forward to it.
Yeah, that'll be great. So thanks very much. I'll see you guys soon.
You're welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
Care.
Thank you. My guests have been photographer Tom Mangelson and writer Todd Wilkinson, authors of the book The Grizzlies of Pilgrim Creek. For Cincinnati Edition, I'm Thane Maynard.
Coming up, we'll get an update on the Clifton Market. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.